introducing Eli Weber 901 on a Tuesday morning as we go through Tisha B'Av on the 10th instead of Sefer Mitzvot. And Eli's just finishing his snack. We'll start momentarily.
So it's weird. There's something linguistically challenging about talking about Tisha B'Av on a different day.
I just noticed that.
Because obviously Tisha B'Av is a date. Like you could talk about Yom Kippur on a different day. Right? To say Tisha B'Av on the 10th is to say it's not Tisha B'Av. But if we ignore that, we could either refer to Tisha B'Av as the fast for the Beis HaMikdash.
It's like Shemona Esrei when there's 19. Yeah.
Well said. It's like that, except not exactly. But okay. So this year, as we know, Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, and therefore it is moved to Sunday. What I want to talk about is, by way of introduction, the Jewish calendar is kind of interesting because obviously,
I have a question.
How could you have a question already?
You know, on Yom Kippur, in fall Shabbos, why can't Tisha B'Av fall Shabbos?
You know, why don't I give a shir on that exact topic?
All right,
what a good idea!
Right now,
okay,
what a good idea!
Okay, no, not next time. Now, right now.
Okay.
So, to a certain extent, there were no inconsistencies on a d'oraisa level with Shabbos. By which I mean, if Sukkos falls out on Shabbos, so you have Sukkos. And if Rosh Hashanah, if Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, you have Yom Kippur on Shabbos. And the assumption is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood all these things, and that they're not inconsistent. There are some unusual aspects of how there are some unusual aspects of holidays on Shabbos. Like for example, there isn't, when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, it's all on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't say Avinu Malkeinu, but for the most part, it's Yom Kippur. Can you think of, there are two examples that come to mind for me where, of course, you have the holiday on Shabbos, but
Shofar,
that's a fascinating thing. That Chazal came, not the Torah, Chazal came and said, we're going to make Xeira such that you don't blow shofar when it falls out on Shabbos.
It's like uprooting it.
Correct. And we say, generally, the rule is, Yesh koach biyad chachamin. Chazal have the authority, la'akar dama min ha'tor b'sheva al tasa. They can't tell you to do something against the Torah, but they can tell you not to do something. What's the other example? Lulav. Okay. But those are technicalities. For the most part, when holidays fall out, they fall out, you know, on Shabbos. Where it starts getting complicated is on the Rabbanon. Mm-hmm. Right? Because you can easily say, well, the Rabbanon can't come and tell us to do something that's inconsistent with Shabbos. Now, there are only really two Rabbanon holidays, if you do this for real. One is Hanukkah, which doesn't raise any issues. Because, okay, it's obvious that on Hanukkah, nobody thought we would light, you know, or do it another way. Let's say the first time somebody said, hey, maybe we should light a menorah on Friday night because Hanukkah would be Doch HaShabbos. So the answer is, of course not. And we light before. Purim does fall out or can fall out on Shabbos. And that's another one where Chazal say, you know, you can't do it. And so you have to find an alternative date. And the question is, when you have to find an alternative date, what makes more sense? Do you look before or after? And both have theoretical support, right? Like, one of the things we say, you know, Shehu Yeh Mitzvos Lo Mishani, we don't push off, O Mitzvah Bo Liyadcha Al Tach Mitzana. There are all these values in Chazal that say, you know, earlier is better than later. On the other hand, as we'll see, or I'll say it a different way, on the other hand, you can't, you know, you can't do something until the time comes. Mm-hmm. Or do it this way. What's the din if, for whatever reason, you forgot to daven mincha today? What's the din? What do you do? You could daven ma'ariv twice. What's that called? Tashlum. Okay. So now, strange example. You know now that this afternoon you're going to be in surgery. From 12:45, the earliest time you could have a mincha, until 8 o'clock. You're in open heart surgery, you know, there's no question that you're doing the right thing. There's no question that you're doing the right thing. But you know you're not going to be able to daven mincha. You know in advance. So now you have two choices. You say to yourself, let me daven two chakrases, because that will show, you know, my love for davening for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And it'll be consistent with this whole idea that I want to do things earlier.
But you haven't missed mincha yet.
Right. But it doesn't, you can't do that. Because what's it called? It's called tashlumen. Tashlumen is a makeup. You can't take the, as a person who made it through college, basically only taking the makeup exam and never taking the actual one, you can't take the makeup exam early. There's no such thing. It doesn't make sense. So the question is, is that how we apply it to holidays or particularly to fast days? And now we can actually get more micro and look, there aren't that many fast days. Again, Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. Funny, Yom Kippur can't fall out on Friday. Right. Falls out on Shabbos all the time, we have it on Shabbos, okay? Mm-hmm. What about the other fast days? So, yeah. Tzom Gedalia doesn't really count. Tzom Gedalia is on the wrong day to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because Tzom Gedalia so really happened on Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so now it's on the 3rd. I don't believe, you know, because Lo Adu Rosh, so something else could never fall out on Shabbos anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Right. No, it can't. Right. I'm sorry. Tzom Gedalia.
Okay?
But it doesn't matter. Okay. Obviously, you're not going to move it up.
Right.
Okay, Shivasa B'Tammuz this year was Shabbos. And we push it back. Now, why don't we move it up? What? No, but why don't we do it on third? Again, when Tanis Esther would fall out on Shabbos, we move it to Thursday. Right? So, we do. That's not like my Chiddush. So, the question is, what's the rule?
Yeah.
You know, why is that? So what I want to do is look at a bunch of related and famous sources, which are important on their own, and then let's see if we can't build a theory that
would... In the we would leave on Shabbos, although it doesn't happen for some reason.
It never happens. It's some bizarre thing.
It
says, that's some strange drasha, but it never... We do have Asar B'Teves on Friday, which is like a fascinating thing when it happens, because it's so weird to have something like that, and it's weird to go into Shabbos. Happens to be, Asar B'Teves always falls out on like short days, so it's not like you're passing out. Shabbos is 4:15, you'll make it anyway, but it is fascinating.
If you didn't make a Siyum, Erev Pesach, would you have to fast on Shabbos?
Nah, for sure not.
Well,
I mean, it's so far below, you know, the halachic obligation of fast on Erev Pesach is not on the same level as another one. Okay. So first, what I want to show you is, and the most important point I want to show you is that the relationship between the 9th of Av and the 10th of Av isn't simply that the 10th of Av is the day after.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we all know on a regular year, the fast ends at the end of Tisha B'Av, but there is still like these bizarre, you know, leftover morning things.
Not eating meat and wine. And
right, you know, not shaving immediately and laundry until Chatzos the next day. In fact, when I was a little kid, I went to Camp Torah V'Das, a very, very, like, religious camp.
Wow.
And so what they did was, there was like this countdown on the 10th of Av. You know, because like all you talk about is the things you can't do in the 9 days. And then they would count down to like Chatzos.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the director of the camp would like go down the slide in his clothes into the swimming pool and they start playing music and whatever. And I remember as a little kid, I used to think to myself, you know, that they would count down and they'd go, hooray, like I was like, hooray, the base of Mishnah is destroyed. But, you know, right. It's like a bizarre thing. But you already know that the 10th isn't just the day after. So now let's read the source. The Gemara Tainis says on Daf Chav Tes Amud Aleph as follows. The Gemara is trying to, it's like one of these really helpful Gemara's, is trying to figure out dates. So the Gemara says as follows. Chorev HaBayis Barishona, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, Dichziv, Uvachodesh HaChamishi, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, the month of Av. B'Shiv Olachodesh, on the 7th of Av, Hishnat Sha'esrei Shana LeMelech Nebuchadrezzar Melech Bavel. It's the 19th year of the reign of Nebuchadrezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, doesn't matter. Ba Nebuzardan Rav Tabachim Eved Melech Bavel. Nebuzardan, the chief butcher of Nebuchadnezzar, came. Ba Yushalayim, Vayistrof et Beit Hashem. Okay? So this is great, except it's not. The Pasuk says definitively that on the 7th of Av, Nebuzaradan destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. That's bad, because we don't fast on the 7th of Av. But there's another Pasuk. Uksiv in the third line, Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Uvachodesh HaChamishi, again that's Av, Bet Asor LaChodesh, on the 10th, He Shnat Sha'asre Shana L'melech Nebuchadrezzar Melech Bavel, same year, so there's no mistaking it. Right? One has on the 7th of Av, one has on the 10th of Av, he came. What did he do? Amad Lifnei Melech Bavel Yushalayim, and he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So now, all we know for sure is that we're wrong. Because we have one pasuk supporting the 7th, we have one pasuk supporting the 10th. So what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, V'tanya, E'ef Shalomar B'Shiva, you can't say that, again, just using the funny way of saying it, you can't say that Tisha B'Av is the 7th. Why? Sharei Kfar Ne'emar Be'asor. Because the pasuk says that it was destroyed on the 10th. V'ef Shalomar Be'asor, and you can't say that it was destroyed on the 10th. Sharei Kfar Ne'emar B'Shiva. Okay, because it says the 7th. So what do you do? Hakeisa. Says the Gemara. B'Shiva. This is now the authorized history. B'Shiva Nichnesu Nachrim Lahechal. On the 7th of Av, the Gentiles entered the Beit HaMikdash. And just to step back for a second, you know, because we know there's another date. We know that at least in Bayi Sheni, the walls of the Old City were breached on the 17th. When you think about it, if you just think about the history, and you think about the relative size of things, okay, the Old City that we have now is not the Old City that they had then, but the Old City there was not huge. It went down to, you know, the bottom of the Ur Dovid, you know, it was a small area. The fact that it took 3 weeks from the time they breached the wall to the time they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash must have been three bloody, you know, difficult weeks. But it turns out it's not really 3 weeks, because now the Gemara says as follows, Ha-Kesan. B'Shiv'a Nichnesu Nachrim Lehechal, on the 7th they already came into the Beit HaMikdash. V'achlu V'kilkulu Bo Shvi'i Shmini. And what they do, they desecrated it for 2 days. In fact, if you ask me, like if you get in and you conquer it, assuming the base place really was as beautiful as we imagine it to be, you know, who wants to destroy the palace, right? You want to live in the palace. So the answer is, they desecrated it for 2 days, they made picnics, they did all the things that they did, they put out all these things, and Utshi'i Samuch L'Chashecha, on Tisha B'Av, in the afternoon, let's say, Hitzisu Bo Et Ha'or, they lit it on fire. So basically, it wasn't destroyed on the 7th, it wasn't destroyed on the 8th, maybe it wasn't even destroyed on the 9th. On the afternoon of Tisha B'Av, they lit it on fire. V'haya dolek v'holech kol hayom kulo. And it burned, presumably, all the next day.
So this is what the Gemara means.
Shene'emar oy lanu ki pana hayom ki natutz dolayarev. Right, it got bad, how bad it was, that as it became evening of the ninth, they lit it on fire. And now you see a fascinating machlokas. Vahainu da'ama Rabbi Yochanan, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan said, Il malei hayiti ba'oto hador, had I lived in the time when they established the fast of the ninth of Av, lo kiva'ativ ela ba'asiri. I would have established it. It means there was a debate. What day should be the day of mourning? So says Rabbi Yochanan, if it was me, I think the real fact is the Beit HaMikdash was burned on the 10th, and that's when I would have established. Why? Mipnei Sherubo Shel Heichal Bo Nitzrof, because that's the day that most of the destruction took place. The Rabbanan, bottom line, Rabbanan said no. Atchalto de Puranusa Adifa, the beginning of the Puranut, of the terrible act, is more important. Now, let's do Chachamim first, because I think it's easier. What does it mean, Aschal to the Puranut Adifa? I think what it means is, it was done when they lit it on fire. It's true that it didn't really burn till the next day, but there was, you know, there's like a line that if you pass, we're finished. The Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And that line is when they lit it on fire. It's true, it takes a long time to burn a big building and what have you, but it was done at that time. Okay, I think that that's the way to look at it. Rabbi Yochanan says, look, I only know what I see. And I know that at the end of Tisha B'Av, the Beit HaMikdash was still standing. On the end of the 10th of Av, the Beit HaMikdash was no longer standing. Therefore, it was, if it was up to me, I would have picked the 10th. Now, two interesting things. The first thing is, obviously, we'll get to the point we're trying to get to is, the question of where you docha Tisha B'Av to, when Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, may be connected to this 10th issue, which is, forget what the normal rules are, what you would normally do to a fast. If it was always a question of the 9th or the 10th, so in theory you could say, listen, we pass in the 9th, but if the 9th falls out on Shabbos, forgetting all other rules that we have in Halacha, whether you move it up or you move it back, the 10th seems like the right day, because that could have been the day. Okay, what the Gemara doesn't mention, I find it interesting, is that we have this idea, you know, that five terrible things happened on the, what?
On Tisha B'Av?
On Tisha B'Av. Beginning with the Chayit HaMorah. But I'm saying, if you stood and you asked yourself, well, what day should we make Tisha B'Av? Did it matter at all that somebody said, well, isn't Tisha B'Av already kind of a sad day, because that's the sin of the Meraglim?
Mm-hmm.
Right? See, this is Bais Rishon. So it's number two on the list. And it could be that we didn't really think of Tisha B'Av as being this terrible day yet. By the way, by Bayis Sheni, Tisha B'Av was already Tisha B'Av.
Mm-hmm.
But in Bayis Rishon, it's interesting, we don't have any traditions that I'm aware of that we kept the 9th of Av as a sad day, starting with the Chayit HaMeraglim. There is no such tradition. I couldn't tell you that it's not true, but I have no source. Yes?
Even the Meraglim, I think, was Tisha B'Av, but the punishment from Hashem, the crying, and then overnight, and the punishment was on the 10th.
Okay. And I don't know how you could know that.
Because it says that the 9th was the Meraglim.
They cried that night.
And they cried that night, and God's the next
okay,
day.
One of the things that holidays require, or sad days require, is picking a date.
Right.
It's rare that an event was limited to some 24-hour period. Right? But it requires that. Okay? So, that's the background. Now, look at the second source. The second source is in Megillah, and the reason why a lot of these things are in Megillah is because Purim, when you think about it, it's not just the Shabbos thing. What we have is the Shabbos thing, but if you remember at the beginning of Megillah, Purim could be on the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, the 15th, based on where you live and if you have a minyan and what have you. So there, the only opportunities, as you'll note, are moving it up. There's no moving Purim. There's no, I couldn't get to Purim, so let's do it after the 15th. Mm-hmm. That's a drush on the Pasuk V'lo Yavor, but it is the fact. So there
did they fast between the first and the second?
That's
so there's no question that they fasted between the first and the second. There's no question, because that's a Pasuk in Zechariah. Right. They come to Zechariah and they say, Ha'ev ke b'chodesh ha'chamishi, hi nazer kasher asiti zeh kamesh shanim. Uh-huh. If anybody's like overwhelmed by the fact that I could quote Pesukim from Zechariah by heart, I memorized that one. Okay, that's a famous one.
Yes, I forgot to mention today.
What?
New York said of my grandmother. Her name is Yetzer Bat Asher Kusher.
Okay, good.
New York said my nanny Etta.
Okay.
So they fasted between the first and the second temple.
So, then the machlok is whether they fasted during by Shane.
Okay.
That's an issue, but everybody agrees they fasted between.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
For sure. So now, okay, Gemara Megillah, Hey Amon Al, source number two. Gemara says, Aval Zman Atzei Kohanim V'Tisha B'Av V'Chagiga V'Hakel. Each of these things, Zman Atzei Kohanim was a private holiday. There were different families that donated the wood for the Ner Tamid on the Mizbeach. And each of them had made a holiday when they donated the wood. So the holiday for the donation of the wood, and Tisha B'Av, and the Karban Chagiga, which can't be brought on Shabbos, the Hakel, the gathering of all the Klai Yisrael, which can't be done on Shabbos, Ma'acharin v'lo Makdimi. The Gemara says the rule is, when they can't happen, they are pushed off, and they are not brought forward. And now for our purposes, we want to know, Tisha B'Av, why is Tisha B'Av pushed off and not brought forward? Says the Gemara, the general rule, Akdume Puranut Lo Mekadmi. We never ever move up the date of a sad thing. Tisha B'Av is sad. So basically, Who wants to make it earlier? We want to make it later because we're not looking forward to it because it's depressing because it's all these different things. So therefore, the Gemara says that's the rule. Akdume puanut lo mekadmi. We never ever move up fast days, which in parentheses, it tells us something about Tanis Esther, which we do move up. And what does it tell us about Tanis Esther? It's not fundamentally sad.
Yeah.
I mean, and we know that for ourselves. We know that after Tanis Esther is Purim. So,
why
okay.
Why does Gemara just list these? Gemara always asks why these and not others. Shavas Vitanis isn't listed.
Oh, because this is the rule. There are other Gemaras, but this is the rule. Fast days, Akdumai Puranusa Lo Mekadmi.
But when they listed, you know, three, four, whatever it is, that...
Yeah, I don't know the answer to your question. Because could they have said Shavas Vitanis, Asar Vitanis? Often they do, sometimes they don't. Okay. Now, the Turei Aven is going to ask a question that all of us should have asked. And here goes. Source number three, the Turei Aven, a classic commentary on Megillah, says as follows. Let's read it together. V'ha diyahiv ta'ama l'tisha b'av, and that which they gave the reason for not moving Tisha B'av up. Mishum akdume puranus lo mikadminan, because we never move up the date of a sad day, kushali. He said, I have a strong question. I don't understand. Lama li hai taima. Why do I need the reason that we don't move up the date of a sad day? Tepukle, let's say the following. Kevan de bismano. Efshala acher liyom haasiri. No. Kevan de bismano efshar. Since you can't fast on the 9th of Av, because it's Shabbos. La'acher liyom ha'asiri adif tfei mila akdume. It makes more sense to push it back to the 10th than to bring it forward. Why? To habisof perek da'al d'tan, it's the Gemara that we saw, Amar Rav Yochanan in the third line. Il male ha'yisi ba'osador lo kivatia ela ba'asiri. We have a shita that says Tisha B'av really should be the 10th anyway. Mipnei, why? Mipnei she rubo shalaychal nisrafbo, because most of the basements were destroyed in the tent. Now it happens to be we paskin like chachamim, rabbanon aschalta de puranisa adifa. We paskin though the 9th because that's the more important day. But he says, but vaha, bechol tisha b'av liyot v'shabbos, but if tisha b'av falls out on Shabbos, di'i efshar lehitanot ba'at chalata de parnuta, and you can't fast on Shabbos. Havadai afilu l'rabbanon al kol panim ra'uilan l'kovo l'ta'anit ba'asiri sherubo shalechal nisrafbo mila akdume. Ask the Turei Aven the question that all of us should have asked, which is, why does the Gemara say the reason why when Tisha B'av falls out on Shabbos, we push it to the 10th instead of moving it up to the 8th, the reason is, akdume puranus lo makdumina, we never move up bad things. There's a much better reason. The better reason is Tisha B'av may have been on the 10th to begin with. Right? That was the day that everybody agrees most of the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Happens to be we paskin like Chachamim that the beginning of the destruction is more important. And so we fast on the 9th. But says the Turei Aven, when you can't fast on the 9th, isn't it obvious that you fast on the 10th? Having nothing to do with any general rules of fast days. If Tisha B'av could have been on the 10th, so when it can't be on the 9th, we'll put it on the 10th. Why doesn't the Gemara say that? Everybody with me?
Yes.
Right? There was a reason, you know, said it a different way. The 10th isn't just the day after the 9th. The 10th was the day that the Beis HaMikdash was essentially destroyed on. So why does the Gemara say the reason why, if you can't fast on the 9th, you fast on the 10th, is that we never move up fast days? The answer should be, who cares about other fast days? The 10th is the more appropriate, is an appropriate day to fast. And the 8th isn't. Okay. That's the question. Fourth line from the bottom in the middle, he says, V'shema yeshlamak. Perhaps you could answer. Mishum da amrin an hasam b'zayin nichnesu nachrim lehechal v'achlo v'kilkulu bo zayin v'chet v'tet. And then on the tet, on the right, the Gemara said, the Romans came in on the 7th, and the 7th, 8th, and 9th, they desecrated and played around there. Towards the end of the day on the 9th, they lit it on fire. So they vahayadolek v'olech kol hayom kulo v'ha'adifa aliba d'rabbanan d'hai taima d'ba'asiri rubo shalaychal nisraf bo hilkach ilav hai taima d'akdu mepurnas lo makdaminan haya ra'uy lahakdim b'yom chet o zayin mila acher. The Turi Evan says the reason that we don't move it up might be a different reason. Because again, what did we see in the Gemara? Chachamim say that the Romans showed up. Really, the destruction started on the 7th. The 7th could have been the date. The 8th could have been the date. The 9th could have been the date. But he says, once we pass in like Chachamim, that Aschalta de Puranusa Adifa, that the beginning of the destruction is what matters the most, then really the 10th isn't a good day. If you couldn't do the 9th, you should look at the 8th or the 7th. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
So there was a reason. Fast on the 7th.
Okay, so the answer is, that's not the reason. Says the Torah, and that's why the Gemara says, the answer is, Akdumik de Parnusa lo Makdumina, we never move up a sad day. That's the rule in Halacha. And so it's not that we fast on the 10th, because the 10th could have been Tisha B'Av. We fast on the 10th because we can't fast on the 9th, and we always push it back. Okay?
Push it forward.
According to the
push it back. Instead of fasting on the 9th, we fast on the 10th. I don't know if a better way to say it.
So want to have the official fast day on the 7th. That's when it started. That's when they broke into the basement.
Okay, so then why not have the fast day on Shavuot? You always have to pick a date. You're absolutely right. There's an argument to be made for the 7th. Chazal picked a date upon which, in my opinion at least, it was irreversible. Mm-hmm. Till they lit it on fire, I don't know, maybe anything could have happened to stop it. I don't know. It's hard to know. But in this case, that's where we stand. Okay? So, background is as follows. Tisha B'Av could have been on the 7th, could have been on the 8th, could have been on the 9th, could have been on the 10th. Rabbi Yochanan thought it should have been on the 10th because that's the date most of the destruction took place. Chazal picked the 9th as the date, because that's when I think the destruction was irreversible. At that point, it was irreversible. Now, when you can't fast on the 9th, why do we fast on the 10th? The answer is because that's the rule in Halacha, that we always move sad events, sad dates, fast days, back and not forward. So Tisha B'Av gets pushed to the 10th instead of brought forward to the 8th or the 7th. Fine. Now, let's look at a related Gemara in Megillah, also on Daf Hei Amud Aleph, that has some fascinating stuff in it. Okay, it says the Gemara as follows: Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rebbe, who was not like a regular guy, Rebbe was the editor of the Mishnah. Natan Nitiya B'Purim, he planted on Purim, which okay raises some issues about doing stuff on Purim. V'rachat b'krona shel tzipori b'shivas or b'tamuz. He bathed in krona, is like a marketplace. The point is, he bathed in a public place where people would know that he was doing it on shivas or b'tamuz. It's a minor issue. For the most part, we pass in that you are allowed to bathe on shivas or b'tamuz, but presumably it's a little controversial. Here's the part we need. U'bikesh la'akor tish abav. What does that mean?
Wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av, but it wouldn't be a...
Wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av. And not surprisingly, below Hodulo.
Yeah.
Okay, they didn't agree. So, sometimes you see a line in the Gemara and you can translate it, but it just doesn't make any sense. Rebbe wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av? What would that mean?
This is 100 years after destruction.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So now, Amar Lefanav Rebbe Abba Bar Zavda. So Rebbe Abba Bar Zavda said, no, that didn't happen. Rebbe... Lo kacha yom maaseh. That's not what happened. Here's the real story. Ella, Tisha B'Av shachal yot b'Shabbat hava. Rebbe was talking about a year like this year, where Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos. V'dachinuhu la'achar haShabbos. And so, as the halacha is, they pushed it off till Sunday. V'amar Rebbe ho'il v'nidche yidche. Rebbe says, once we're pushing off Tisha B'Av anyway, let's get rid of it. So, on the one hand, Rebbe didn't try to get rid of Tisha B'Av completely, but he did try to get rid of Tisha B'Av of the type that we have this year.
But what about the argument that much of the destruction occurred on the 10th already? So,
okay, first just a fact.
Okay.
So basically, what just happened in the Gemara said something insane, and then it backed off it to be something just minorly crazy. Right? Yeah. That, okay, we wouldn't have Tisha B'Av this year. Let's just finish. And then, V'lahodu lo chacham. Okay, chacham didn't agree. Kari aleha, so somebody else came along and said about what Rav Av Bar Zavda explained in the Shita of Rebbe, Tovim Hashnayim in Ha'achad, it's much better that you explained it. You know, like the second explanation is better than the first, because it would be crazy. Okay? Now, under what theory would Rebbe want to get rid of Tisha B'Av that doesn't fall on its proper date? So the only thing you think is this follows. Maybe, well, at least what we have in the Gemara is, you know, it's a sad thing, right? Maybe life was better in the time of Rebbe, I don't know. It's a sad thing. If we're not going to do it on the day that Chazal, you know, let's not make the people sadder than they have to be. If you're not going to do it on the date, then you don't do it at all. Presumably, if he said it about Tisha B'Av, I assume he meant he would have said it about Shavuos or Betamuz and Tzom Gedalia, and you know, I assume that that's all true. But anyway, this Gemara is still difficult to understand what it would mean for Rebbe to be Docha Tisha B'Av. So luckily, Tosfos comes along. Flip over to source number 5. Tosfos on that Gemara in Megillah Hayom Beis now says as follows. Rebbe wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av. They didn't agree to him. Kasha, says Tosfos, the question we all would ask. I have a question, he says. How could we even entertain the possibility? How could we imagine? That Rebbe wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av. In the first telling of the Gemara. How could we have even entertained the possibility that Rebbe wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av? V'amrina, doesn't the Gemara say, Kal ha'ochal v'shoseh b'tisha b'av, eino ro'eh b'nachama shel Yerushalayim. Isn't that what we say? That if you don't mourn the destruction of the temple, you'll never be zocha to see its rebuilding? Like, Rebbe, you can't uproot Tisha B'Av. How could there have been even the thought that he wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av? Va'od, in addition, forgetting how offensive it is philosophically, halachically, it's impossible. Ein bezdin yachol levatel divrei bezdin chaveiro. One bezdin cannot abrogate that which was established by another bezdin. Ela im ken gadol heimenu b'chachma u'b'minyan. Unless it was bigger than it in knowledge and in number. And assuming that the Anshei Knesset Agdol or the Sanhedrin established Tisha B'Av, Rebbe has no authority to uproot Tisha B'Av. So the whole thing doesn't make any sense. Here's the answer. Says Tosfos, two answers. First, V'yesh lomar, we could perhaps answer as follows. D'lo ratza la'okro, ela mechumra sheyesh bo, yoter mishar taniyot. Fascinating answer. Rebbe didn't want to get, it doesn't mean literally Rebbe wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av. What Rebbe wanted to do was to make Tisha B'Av less severe. Or say it in our language, Rebbe wanted to make Tisha B'Av like Shavuos or Betamuz. What's the difference? Yeah, it's the difference between a 25-hour fast and a 12-hour fast, you know, for the most part. It's the difference between restrictions on bathing and marital relations and all these other things, right? For whatever reason, Rebbe thought that it was time to have Tisha B'Av be on the same level as the other fast.
Only when it's on Shabbat, though.
No. In the first Tosfos is saying, again, the Gemara says Rebbe wanted to be Oker Tisha B'Av. Okay. Comes somebody else and says,
right.
No, he was only trying to be Oker Tisha B'Av when it fell on Shabbos. But Tosfos says, how could anybody have thought like the first sheet to begin with? Okay. So the answer is no, he didn't want to cancel Tisha B'Av. He felt that Tisha B'Av should have been brought down to the level of the other
day it happened.
Correct. And now here's the interesting thing. So just 5 minutes of background, but a side point, but it's fascinating. In the pasuk in Zechariah, there's no distinction between the four fast days, right? It says Tzom Arvi, Tzom HaChamishi, Tzom HaTshiyi, Tzom HaAsiri. Yeah, LeBet Yudal Sason Simcha VaMat VaShalom HaHavu. I'm all over these pasukim in Zechariah. I know, because I got breakfast from Bruce this morning. I'm doing better. Okay. So they're all the same, the four fast days. So what happened? So what happens is the Gemara asked the question, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah asked the question, what does the pasuk mean? Soma Revi'i, Vitsoma, will you, Beit Yisrael, the Sasson, the Simcha, Ula Moadim Tovim. So the Gemara says, it depends. It depends where you are in history. Okay? If you're at a time of Shalom, then these 4 days are holidays. If you're at a time of Shmad, of destruction, then those 4 days are fast days. And fast days means there's only one type of fast in the Torah. It's called Yom Kippur. It's 25 hours with all of the restrictions. Okay? And the Gemara says, but if you're in neither time frame, it's neither time of Shalom or Shmad, then the din is Ratzu Misanin, Ratzu E Misanin. It's optional. Okay? In those days it was optional. So what happened was as follows. Now, so what about Tisha B'Av? The Gemara says Tisha B'Av is different. Hoel v'huch b'lu b'otzor. So a lot of bad things happened on Tisha B'Av. So the background is as follows. When the Jewish people agreed to fast, let's assume that Bizman Hazeh, in theory, all the other three fast days are optional. Let's assume we don't live in a time of Shalom, and we don't live in a time of Shmad. There's no Beit Hamikdash, there's no destruction. So the Jewish people as a whole, at some point, said, you know what? We will fast on Shivasa B'Tammuz, and Asar B'Tevis, and Tzom Gedalia, but we're making up a new thing, a mini-fast. We'll do it, but we're not doing it like Yom Kippur. Right? There's no source for that. We'll do it 12 hours, whatever. But with respect to Tisha B'Av, since we know Tisha B'Av is more significant, so we'll agree to fast Tisha B'Av like Yom Kippur. And the first pshat in Tosfos comes along Rebbe and says, nah, I don't think so. I think it's enough to fast Tisha B'Av the way we fast on Shavuot or B'Tammuz. That's the first answer. Okay? That's what Rebbe meant when he wanted to be Oker Tisha B'Av. The second answer now, the last full line of Tosos, Inami Yesh Lomar. No, another answer. Deratzal Leokro Mitishii Ulekavo Ba'asiri. Rebbe wanted to move it from the 9th, not to cancel it, but to move it from the 9th to the 10th, because he thought Rabbi Yochanan was right, that that was the day that most of the Beis HaMikdash was burnt. You know, Rabbi Yochanan, Ilu Havai Hasam Kivatiya Ba'asiri. If I was there, Rabbi Yochanan said I would have established Tisha B'Av on the 10th and not the 9th. Okay? So you see that even into the time of Rebbe, there was a little pushback still over the day of Tisha B'Av. Like we're thinking, like to us, somebody got up in shul and said, I assume next year Tisha B'Av is not on Shabbos. I'm not one of these calendar guys. Somebody got back to you and said, look, I think we should fast on the 10th. See, you would shut the guy up properly, so the halach was established. But you see, there was still some pushback for quite a period of time over what the right day was. Okay? Now we come to this year. All this by way of background to a few really interesting questions. And I'll start with what I think is the most interesting question, although for most of us, halach alamayis, it doesn't really matter. When you think about the period of increasing levels of mourning for the Beit HaMikdash, the way it works is 3 weeks, 9 days, Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, the week of Tisha B'Av, right? For Sfaradim, that's really the only time. But even for us, everybody understands that that week is more significant. For example, when I lived in America and I worked, I only didn't shave during Shavua Shechal Bo. Because I thought there was a real reason. Okay, a lot of people had that minhag. So, and you always look, it's like interesting, you always want Tisha B'Av to be like on Sunday, because then you don't, there is no Shavua Shechal Bo. Okay? The question is there a Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av this year? So you say, well, of course not. Because Tisha B'Av is Sunday, and when Tisha B'Av is Sunday, so there's, you know, you walk
really
out.
Shabbat.
The question is that really true? Right. Or said a different way, on Shabbos, which is Tisha B'Av this year, is there any remnant whatsoever of the fact that it's Tisha B'Av? It's obviously, what?
On Shabbat.
On Shabbat. Now, obviously you don't fast, and obviously it's Shabbos, and so, you know, there's no... But might there be things that you do in private that you wouldn't do otherwise? So said a different way. When mourning is interrupted by a holiday, Okay, somebody's sitting Shiva, and then, you know, it's Pesach. So everybody understands. Shiva is canceled. Why? Because Yom Tov and Avelud are opposites. Yom Tov has a mitzvah of Simcha. Avelud is about sadness. They cannot coexist. But Shabbos and Avelud are not necessarily opposites. They're slightly inconsistent, but there's no din of Simcha on Shabbos. There's a din of Oneg, but it's not a din of Simcha. So, for example, Shabbos doesn't break up Shiva for two reasons. One, there would never ever be a thing called Shiva because Shabbos falls once a week, right? No one could finish 7 days of mourning if Shabbos broke it up. But everybody knows, who knows Hilchos Aveilus, or who, God forbid, went through the process, that there are things bitzina in private that you do on Shabbos that you wouldn't do on that you would do on Yom Tov, let's say, right? There are private forms of mourning that you do on your, you know, by yourself. So let's look at a really interesting halacha. Source number 6.
When do you start eating? If you start Shalosh Shvitas early, can you continue eating till Marv?
No, because the count, the time determines, right? So like, what a great thing! I'm a chassid. I'm a chassid. I eat Shalosh Shvitas till 10 o'clock at night.
No, so there is a little
so
bit.
So I won't have to start fasting till I finish Shalosh Shvitas. No,
there is a little bit of Tisha B'Av then on Shabbos. You can stop eating.
Okay, well, you try not to make it obvious. What mean thing were you going to say?
I knew a guy who was on the line to work. He was
marketed
to fly every Tisha B'Av.
Okay, well, you know, his grandmother obviously never told him what my grandma does. It's very dangerous to fly on Tisha B'Av.
Oh, really?
It means he really doesn't like fasting. Wrong on everyone. Okay. Source number 8. Look at this fascinating thing. This is Or HaChaim. This is Halacha Lemaisa. This is this year. Hilchos Tisha B'Av Simon Tov Kuch Nun Dalet Seif Yutas. Says the Mechaber as follows: Imchal Tisha B'Av B'Shabbos. By the way, this is not this year. Tisha B'Av. No, I'm sorry. It is this year. Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos. Mutar B'Kulan. You could have a regular Shabbos. Afilu B'Tashmish Hamita. You can have relations with your wife, because it's not Tisha B'Av. Haggadah Rama says, V'yesh Osrim Tashmish Hamita. There are those who say, no, you should not have relations with your wife on Tisha B'Av. V'chein Nohagim. By the way, that's the accepted halacha. In case you didn't know, it's none of my business. We don't have to discuss these things. That's the halacha. Okay, a week from the Shabbos, says the Rama, have a regular Shabbos, but you should abstain. Now, the question is, why? If Tisha B'Av is pushed off till the 10th, so why should there be anything on the 9th that I'm doing, to observe Tisha B'Av? Okay? So Rav Soloveitchik said, it depends on the issues we've been discussing till now. It depends on what's really going on. Is the case that Tisha B'Av remains Tisha B'Av? Just happens to be that it's prohibited to fast on Tisha B'Av. So you would call the Nihugei Avelut, right? The external expressions of mourning get moved to the 10th. But Tisha B'Av is still the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Right? That's the real day. Okay? Or, so now, if it's the real day, so the Rama says, listen, refrain from marital relations. That's not, I'll say it in my word. It's not like you do it every Shabbos anyway. Don't say anything. Okay? It's not like you do it every Shabbos anyway. Nobody's going to know. The answer is, it is Tisha B'Av. It happens to be, so those aspects of Tisha B'Av that are inconsistent with Shabbos get pushed off till Sunday.
So without washing up your knuckles?
Yes, so you wash everything on Shabbos.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Because that would get in the way of Shabbos. Like, that's not a sin-a thing. Meaning, you know, if you didn't wash for motzi the way you normally do, I think it would be an expression of avilut. Let me just finish. But according to the Mechaber, what does the Mechaber say? He says, go ahead. I, Svarm Shebet Sinna, who would know what to do? So the Rav thought, the Mechaber must hold that Tisha B'Av is not Tisha B'Av this year. It's the 10th, right? And perhaps it's the 10th, not like other fasts, but it's the 10th because the 10th really could have been the day to begin with. You understand the difference? You could claim that every time on other fast days, you know, okay, it's Nidcha, but the things you could do, you should do. But he said it could be that if you see, according to the Mechaber, if you could have marital relations, on Shabbos, it must mean that no, there is no remnant of Tisha B'Av this year on Tisha B'Av. This year, Tisha B'Av is Asiri B'Av.
There could be something else inside, which is that this whole idea of not having any kind of other use on Shabbat.
No, but that's wrong. I think we say that, but we're wrong when we say it.
I read in the Chabad, you know.
Okay,
sorry.
You want to bring this? I read in Sports Illustrated.
Why? Because, you know, on Shabbat Chazon, a lot of people sing Lakadudi.
They don't sing it that way either, but
well,
I know.
Yeah, right. It's okay. Probably better than me. But
yeah.
The Chabadikim say, even that,
great.
You shouldn't do it.
Great.
Because you shouldn't have any memory of other people on Shabbat.
Okay, so what can I say? The Ramah disagrees with them. It's easy, if I want to defend it, you could say, the people who say, and it's an interesting thing, is there could be Avelut, but Avelut Barabin, the Farhesia, singing Elit Zion, you know, for, okay, I could understand that.
No, I'm saying,
on the other hand, the Chabad people shave? Now the answer is a trick question. It's a trick question.
They never shave.
Right. But the point is, we do somehow make our peace
maybe
with having some level of avilut on Shabbos. Meaning, you didn't shave for Shabbos. Well, you won't shave for the... I don't want to get into it yet. The point is, a person who comes to shul unshaven this Shabbos, everybody understands why he's unshaven. Okay, and somehow, you know, so you have to make your peace with it. Yeah?
There's a concept in... Oh, right. Like if you study something, you can't observe a mitzvah, but you study about it, in some way you should get some value to it. You can't do korbanot. So I'm just wondering if on Shabbat we should be learning about the destruction of the temple.
Oh, for sure. I think that's unrelated. I think you're
unrelated. No, but specifically on Shabbat.
Well, if your plan is, if I learn about it, I can eat on Sunday, I think you're wrong.
No.
But if your plan is, so again, you don't want to do things that uproot the general character of Shabbos.
Right.
The question is if you could fit those things in. Look, Chazal knew that it was called Shabbos Chazon. In the old days, people didn't wear big day Shabbos on Shabbos Chazon. And Chazal knew when they established the Haftorah as being a depressing, sad Haftorah, it would get in the way of the joy of Shabbos. So both extremes are clearly unacceptable. Not the Chabad one, not the one that says you should spend all day in mourning. Right?
But we're trying to mean that the Shulchan Aruch, when he says you can have marital relations, he's just saying it's a regular Shabbos as much as possible.
I agree with you. It's a regular Shabbos. Because Tisha B'Av is on Sunday. Chabad people don't celebrate on Tisha B'Av. They also observe like regular Jews.
When there's a machloket, does that mean there's some type of safek? And since this is a rabbanim,
no,
we should be
no, because what are you going to do? We are Ashkenazim, at least me and you. We pass like the Ramah. Those are the rules.
All right. This is not really a safek for us.
It's a machloket between Mechaber and the Ramah, but we consider, though, in those situations, Ashkenazim passing like the Ramah, Sephardim passing like the Mechaber. It's not a suffix.
So
okay.
The Mechaber is more like Rebbe?
I guess, if you want to say that. Now, source number 7, the more interesting issue for us, Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av. Okay? Asuim l'saper l'chabes, no haircuts, no washing, afilu eino rotzelu lov sho ata, l'hanicho l'achar Tisha B'Av. Very interesting Allah. Right? It's the act, normal, when I grew up thinking, I thought the prohibition was you can't wear freshly laundered clothing in the 9 days. But you can't do that, but you also can't do the laundry. For whatever reason, the act of doing laundry is prohibited. I myself don't consider that a joyous activity. I'm very prim, I have a gezeirah, atu, Tisha B'Av, I never do laundry. Because I think I might forget and do the laundry during the 9 days.
Yeah.
So that's how from I
am.
So afilu ain lo ela chiluk. I thought you only have one suit. A story. Now sift out. It's a little hard to read because all these references are in there. La achara ta'anit mutala saper l'chabes miyad. After the fast, you can do okay. V'imchal Tisha B'Av B'Yom Rishon, if Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, or B'Shabbat, like this year, V'nidche La'achar HaShabbat, and it's pushed off till Sunday, Mutar B'Shtei HaShabbatot, means there's no Shavua Shechal B'Av, not the week before, not the week after. Bein Shekodem HaTanit, Bein She'acharav. Now it's the same machlokas. V'yesh mi she'omer she'nahagu le'asor kol shavua she'lefanav chutz miyom. Hey, don't worry about that. Okay? So, basically, we have the same machlokas here. Is there a shavua she'chal bo tisha b'av this year or not? Right? Two deos in the Shulchan Aruch. For the most part, we paskin not. But why is there even a question this year? Isn't it the case that tisha b'av is on Sunday? So the answer is no. If you hold that there is a Shavua Shechal Bo this year, what must you hold? Tisha B'Av is Shabbos. Is Shabbos. Just happens to be that the Nihuye, the things we do externally to express our sadness, get pushed off till Sunday. If you feel like there's no Shavua Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av this year at all, what's the answer? The answer is no, it's the 10th. There's nothing on the 9th whatsoever, and it's the 10th. Why? Presumably, again, because the 10th could have been the day anyway. And so when it can't be, it gets pushed off. The Avnei Nezer, just to see how this plays out, in a related question, source number 8, says, Tzomar Aviv, Tzomach HaMishi, Shecholu B'Shabbos, V'Nitzchulu Ma'akrato, Shivasa B'Tamuz, and Tisha B'Av, that are pushed off till Sunday. Katan Shehigdil L'Ma'akrato, Chayav L'Hitanot Olo. That's an interesting question. Let's say your bar mitzvah is Sunday. Okay, you're getting bar mitzvah on the 10th of Av this year. Do you have to fast or not? What's the question? If the fast of the 10th is not the fast of the 10th, it's a tashlumin for the fast of the 9th, well, you weren't bar mitzvah on the 9th, so you're not chayav to fast on the 10th. But if it's pushed off, if this year Tisha B'Av is not Tisha B'Av, it's Asiri B'Av, answers the Avnei Nezer Tshuva. L'chora nireh pashut d'mashe mit'anin l'machar hu tashlumin d'tzom shechal b'shabbat. It's a makeup. V'kevan di'i efshar b'shabbat mit'anin b'echad b'shabbat. So if you can't fast on Shabbos, you fast on Sunday. So the Avnei Nezer says, no, this whole fancy thing that I've been trying to convince you of isn't true. It's not a Sfardi Ashkenazi machlokes. I don't think so. I don't think the Rambam held that way. He's just, first of all, the Avnei Nezer was a chassid, but an Ashkenazi chassid. In his time, I don't think it's fair to say, no, it's not fair to say it's a Sephardi. But again, he's saying something simple. There is only Tisha B'Av, right? And you can only do Tashlumin for something you were chayav in. Whereas the Shita that says that next week, you know, that there is no... I'll say this, maybe according to the Avnei Nezer, there would be Shavua Shechal Bo this year. Why? Because he says, Tisha B'Av is really Tisha B'Av. Just happens to be you can't fast. Right? Look at the next source, very quickly. Another siman in Shulchan Aruch, V'sudat mitzvah kigom mila u'pidyon aben. Let's say, you have a bris mila on Tisha B'Av. V'siyum mesechad u'sudat erisin. Sorry, generally siyum. Ochlin basa v'shosin yayin, Kol ha-shayachim le-su'udah. Even in the 9 days. Aval yesh le-tzamtzem lo shelo le-hosif. But don't invite a lot of people. U-b'shavua shechal tisha b'av b'tocha, but in the week of tisha b'av, ein le-chol basar v'lishtot yayin. Again, for Sfardim, it only exists the week of. So it's that week you shouldn't. Rak lo b'minyam mitzvah, v'ze afilu be'erev tisha b'av shari, u-bilvad shliyeh b'su'udah she'mafsik b'av. Okay. This isn't so necessary. It basically just tells you that the rules for making a siyum, right? Basically, we hold that you don't make a siyum in Shavua Shechal Bo. The whole fake thing that we do, camps or whatever. In America, there are ads that for this Fleishik restaurant, yes. You know, there's a siyum every night, 8 and 10. And you could come, right? Obviously, that's far away from the spirit of the halacha.
It's a business promo.
That could possibly be. But even there, more or less, we don't do it in Shavua Shechal Bo. Right? Okay, the question is this year, can you make siyums during the week? That is the halacha l'maisa nafkamina between this discussion. If Tisha B'Av is really Tisha B'Av, but the Nihugi Avelis are pushed off till the 10th, there's a reason to think that that week, the whole week, is Shavua Shechalva. If there's no, if my whole theory is wrong, the Rav's whole theory is wrong, and okay, all it is, you know, Tisha B'Av is, but if Tisha B'Av really could have been Asiri B'Av, so that whenever the situation comes up and we push it off by a day, it's not like other fast days where we happen to just push it off. It's something unique to the 10th. Then you could make a strong argument that there's no such thing as Shavua Shechalva, that this year Tisha B'Av is the 10th. So, one second. In the end, both things are sort of true. Right? It has to be. Meaning, it can't be that this year the Shabbos of Tisha B'Av feels the same as other Shabbatot, right? But to me, there is something fascinating about when I think about what's going on. You know, if you imagine like what's going on at this time 2,000 years ago or something, the fast of the 10th is different than the fast of the 9th. Among other things, it ends. You know, there's nothing into the 11th, right? This year, you could shave right afterwards. It's kind of like, and to a certain extent, it has to be that way, because if you're counting from, you know, the beginning of the 9 days, so you're already into your 10th day, now you'd be into your 11th day. You know, the system has to work. But I think, again, the bigger point, and we'll end with this, the bigger point is there's the narrow black and white halacha, and those things obviously determine how we behave, but there's all this stuff behind it. And the idea of the machlokes, when Tisha B'Av should have been, and whether we look at the beginning of the Puranut or the end of the Puranut, right? These are things I think we have to think about on Tisha B'Av. And the idea, Rav Soloveitchik made this point, and it's true in a regular year, it's true even more. Why would it be, and we'll end with this.
Yeah.
Why would it be if the afternoon, we all know that as soon as the afternoon comes, and we know this halachically, but we know it more like emotionally, you get to Mincha, you're like, okay, I made it through Kinos, I made it through Eicha, now I could put on tefillin, I could sit on a bench, it's pretty much over. Right? I could feel the end coming, everybody knows that feeling. But if that's when they lit the Beis HaMikdash on fire, shouldn't that be the worst time? Why is it that we're allowed to get up from the floor and put on tefillin when that's the exact time where things were at their worst? So Soloveitchik said it brilliant, and he has all these proofs that we don't have time for it, but he said as follows. He said, because at that moment, since I said God had a choice to make, the choice to make was destroy his own home or wipe out the Jewish people. And what's called in the pasuk, you know, Shafach Chamato al Eitzim va'Avanim. When God chose to destroy his own house, we understood that we were going to be fine. We were going to lose the Beis HaMikdash. It's a tragedy. But at that moment, the Jewish people were going to survive. And the rough thought, that's expressed in the halacha. In the afternoon, it's a tragedy, but we know there's going to be a future. And the whole idea of like not saying tachnun on Tisha B'Av, because it's also called a moed. What's that, a play on words? No, it's not that it's called a moed in the pasuk. The Rav says, because within the idea is at that moment we knew we were going to survive. Mm-hmm. It's complicated. It's complicated, meaning there is some element of comfort inherent in the day itself. And I think one of the things we learn is that the whole black and white thing, is Shabbos happy as it said, is Tisha B'Av happy, it's much more complicated than that, it's much more nuanced than that. And I think one of the nuances we saw today was that, you know, the 10th of Av is two different things. It's the day that the fast is pushed off to, but it's also a day that itself has historical significance, and that has to play into our whole experience. This is it for me. Right, not next week.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. At the moment, maybe more. But this is the last week for Ellie.
Okay.
Until the next season.
Until opening day. You know, I have to negotiate with Bruce.
Yeah, I know.
I go on a year-to-year contract.
Double your salary.
So I, you know, that's what I'm afraid of.
Can you have a brief on Tisha B'Av?
What?
Can you have a brief?
Yes. Especially, can you read?
I have a question, Jack.
Yes.
Thank you, Reverend.